My name is Owen, and I'm 29 years old. I am on my honeymoon with my beautiful wife, Bonnie. Most people go to Hawaii or Paris, but my wife and I decided to road trip across the country. One night, we were driving through Wisconsin. Bonnie had the map navigating as cell service was dead where we were. According to the map, the nearest hotel is about 10 miles away, Bonnie said. Just tell me when to turn, sweetheart. I smiled as I blew her a kiss. Things were going smoothly for the first couple of miles. But then we came across a dead end and had to turn around. It was getting late, and rerouting the map got confusing. At some point, I took a turn and wound up on a bridge. We were low on gas, so I turned the car off and took a few minutes to re-navigate. The gas station was up the road a couple of miles, so I turned the car back on. The headlights beamed, and Bonnie suddenly screamed. I looked ahead and found a ghostly woman standing in front of our car. She wore a Victorian wedding dress and a veil for miles. She had long black hair and her eyes were hollow, lips thin, and bony cheeks. I looked at the woman and rolled down my window. "Ma'am, are you all right?" I asked. "Don't talk to her," Bonnie hissed. I held up my hand and looked at my wife. "It's okay, Bonnie." I went to talk to her again, and the woman had vanished. I blinked my eyes, thinking, we must be tired. We had driven over 18 hours, and we had a late dinner. "Let's get to the gas station and find the hotel," I told my wife as I put the car into drive. It suddenly stopped. "Seriously?" Bonnie asked with exasperation. "Stand the car, dear. I'll go take a look," I said and grabbed a flashlight from the back seat. I popped the hood of the car and checked the oil. It was good. We had been low on gas, but I know we couldn't have run out. I looked up and saw the woman watching me from the woods. I closed the hood of the car and waved at her. "Ma'am, can I offer you a ride somewhere?" She looked as though she was floating as she walked towards the car. She came up to me, and I ignored my wife's pleas to get back in the car. The bride had a more normal-looking face. Her eyes were a pale gray and cheeks were fuller. She nodded, and I opened the back door for her. She climbed into the car and sat in the middle. I remembered our car had just died and turned to apologize to the lady, and she simply nodded in understanding. "Are we done fraternizing with the weird bride and focusing on getting yours to a hotel?" Bonnie asked. "I'm sorry, she just looked like she needed help. I was trying to be a good guy. Isn't that one of the reasons you married me?" Bonnie rolled her eyes. "I married you for many reasons. Good guy is one of them, but sometimes you're not very smart. Smart people don't pick up a stranger on a vacant road late at night." She might have appeared scary because we're exhausted from a long day of driving. "When we get to the hotel, we'll plan our next day better in the morning." I tried starting the car again, and this time it worked. I smiled back at the bride and grabbed Bonnie's hand, kissing it. "Let's get out of here." I put the car into drive and sped off the bridge and down the road. We drove for a couple of miles, and suddenly, everything around us looked familiar, as though we were just there. Suddenly, we were on a bridge again. "Owen," Bonnie uttered in a worried tone. "Owen, it's the bridge again." I looked in the back seat and saw the bride had vanished. "That's strange," I said. Bonnie looked into the back seat. "No, it's a good thing. I'll pull up the map and see if there's a turn we missed somewhere." She pulled out the map and looked it over while I drove on. I wasn't watching the road as I was looking for any turns I might have missed when I looked up, and there the bride was in front of the car. I slammed on the brake and crashed into her. Her body flew forward and landed on the ground, rolling. I looked over at Bonnie and froze. The passenger, who was supposed to be my wife, was the bride. I looked out on the road and found a woman dressed in jeans and a blouse. I got out of the car and made my way over to the body lying limp on the road. I got a closer look, and the woman I hit was my Bonnie. I looked up at a sign that wasn't there before. It read, "Bloody Bride Bridge." Legend has it, a bride died in an accident on her way to her wedding and haunts drivers passing through. I looked around, and the ghost bride was gone. There was just me and my now dead wife.
Hello, this is Martin. I'm a detective. Today, I will tell you the most dangerous incident that happened to me in a mysterious abandoned place. It was the year 2003, on a Monday. We received an emergency call. Someone screamed for help. It was a man. We heard,
"Hello, police, help, help! In the hills, there's a man.
He seemed very horrified and terrified. We couldn't understand his words completely, but heard his screams. It was like someone had entered there and was about to kill him. And suddenly, he screamed.
No! No! Ah! No!
Before we could understand his point, his voice stopped coming from the other side of the telephone. As soon as we got this mysterious call, our team left for that mysterious place. Jorge Bush Hill. Jorge Bush Hill is a mysterious place because this place is known for its horrible history. In 1994, three friends, Kiala, Justine, and Annie, had gone there to enjoy the tranquil surroundings of that place. Kiala's body was found in chopped pieces, but nobody knows where Justine and Annie are. They are still missing, but police have found their t-shirts, caps, and much more. So our team of four, me, Ellie, and Leo, left for Jorge Bush Hill. When we reached there, we saw that the place was totally abandoned and nobody lived there. We moved ahead and noticed very weird things. After moving for 2 minutes, we saw an abandoned house. We thought the owner wasn't home. I said,
"Hello? Is someone there? Hello?"
We got no response, and we were sure nothing was fine in that house. We had to break the door and enter. When we entered inside, we were totally shocked. Leo said,
"Oh my God. Can't believe it, Martin. What must have happened here?"
We found many bloody weapons there, like saws, axes, and electric chainsaws, and much more. We became aware and started exploring that weird and creepy house. I said, "Keep moving, guys. There must be more things to explore. I think the killer must be a psycho or serial killer. We have to catch him. Move." There was a basement door. We heard the sound of an electric chainsaw and a loud laughter. I asked Leo to open the basement door. He was scared and terrified. He knew that something terrible was happening in the basement. As soon as Leo opened the door, someone suddenly dragged him inside the basement. He yelled in terror.
Ah!
Suddenly, he stopped screaming. When we three went to see inside the basement, we saw Leo's head lying separated from his body with a lot of blood. We looked for the person, but we couldn't find him. He ran away through a secret door. Ellie started shivering and was losing her senses.
Sir, what ahead now? Leo's dead. He got killed brutally.
I motivated her and asked, "Focus on duty, because we have come here to find that unknown man who had called us yesterday night. We had decided to find that psycho." Then we started searching for that killer, but we didn't see him anywhere. We came out of that house. "Ed, stay here to guard this place and inform us at once. Ellie and I are headed towards the direction where we saw that killer going." We proceeded in that direction, and we were unaware of upcoming problems. There was a dangerous trap. Ellie became the victim of that dangerous trap. Suddenly, a rope got tied to her leg. This rope was connected to an old car. Someone drove that car away at high speed, dragging Ellie. That killer was giving a creepy smile and kept dragging Ellie until she died.
"Help, sir, help! Ah!
I tried to save her, but I couldn't. I was terrified and wasn't able to understand anything at that time. I still remember her bloody face and wounded body, the way she was screaming. I was abusing myself for not saving my team. They were more than a team to me, and they are no more. So now, on the other hand, I was worried for Ed. I ran to Ed at once. I saw he wasn't there. I searched for him, but couldn't find him.
"Ed, where are you, Ed? Hello? Ed, are you there?"
I became very sad, thinking he also killed Ed.
As soon as I came out of that house, someone hit me with a heavy rod in my head. I became unconscious due to heavy bleeding from my head. After hours, when I woke up, I found myself tied with chains and ropes tightly, and on the opposite side of a dead body. The whole room was messy and looked very creepy, with blood, chopped hands, legs, and dangerous tools. I saw Ed to the left side of me. He was lying unconsciously. That killer had cut off his hands, and I was shocked after seeing that. I became out of control and started abusing that psycho killer.
Hey, fight with me. If you are a man, you coward, come and fight with me.
When I turned my head, I saw there was a deformed man. He was a little deformed, like his face was not looking normal. He was laughing louder and giving a very creepy smile. He was sitting in a rocking chair and swaying back and forth with his head leaning back. He was enjoying it while I was yelling. After a few minutes, he went near Ed. He woke him up and brought his electric chainsaw. When Ed woke up, he started crying in pain. I can't tell you how I was feeling at that time. Terrible. The killer started his electric chainsaw and prepared to cut his leg.
Sir, help. Sir, help me. No, please let me go. Please.
Hey, you loser. Don't harm him. If you have guts, then fight with me. Untie me and see what I do to you. No, don't.
Later, all I heard was louder screaming and crying. I still abused myself. I couldn't do anything. I watched my friend being chopped and cut by a psycho killer. After killing him, he came to me and said,
"You are the killer of my family. You all are bad."
I couldn't understand what he was saying. While he was telling me this, I untied myself with a small knife in my socks. I acted as if I was out of my senses for a while. When he came to check on me, I stabbed him with that small knife. The killer became faint at once. I decided to handcuff him. But suddenly, he woke up and cut my index finger. I screamed and started shouting in pain.
Oh, shit! Ah! Ah!
That painful memory still gives me goosebumps, guys. I struggled to overcome that killer, but he was very powerful. Like, he was doing this all for a long time. I didn't want to kill him, but he was furious and acting extremely creepy. He was attacking me with several weapons, but I was lucky that day and hardly survived. While he was attacking me, I pushed him from upstairs and punched him several times. Then, I had to shoot him. Jorge Bush Hill is still the biggest mystery for investigators. The mystery of that man is still unsolved, and we are trying our best to know the history of that creepy man.
Narrated by Dorsey Jackson of Dorsey Jackson Global at Compound City. Be sure to like and subscribe.
It was the 7th of July, 2014, and everyone was chatty, and the conversation was flowing as we headed out to Dauphin Island for a coastal getaway, just over 400 miles away. We were close friends and all lived in South Fulton, Atlanta. My name's Christopher, and I was in dire need of a break after the sudden death of my brother in a car accident 3 months back. Carla and Megan were so funny to watch in the rearview mirror as they spoke about old times together in college and past boyfriends. Carla's steady man Robert sat next to me in the front of my newly acquired Land Rover. He was a quiet guy, well-built and muscular, but he was humble and kind. We both smiled watching them jabber away. We were looking forward to some fishing and fresh country air. Megan and I had been happily married for just over a year, and she was 3 months pregnant, which made me proud. Robert leaned over his seat to face Carla. "What?" she asked, smiling and puzzled. "I love you, Carly," he said with a smirk. The ladies laughed, and then Carla replied, "I love you too, Robert." "Enough of this mushy talk," I said, joking. Robert blushed and everyone laughed. He was peeling an apple with his razor-sharp army knife and looked at me for a moment. "I hope that's all you use that knife for," I said half-jokingly. "And for shaving too," he replied, smiling as he sat looking forwards again. We were traveling along Fairburn Road and were about 80 miles out in a densely populated forest area near Anniston. The sun was shining and casting dancing shadows from all the trees, which made me focus a little more. As I took a blind bend, I saw him, but it was too late to break. a young kid in the middle of the road. All I remember were his wide eyes and red hair as the Land Rover hit him and he went flying into the surrounding bush. We all got flown around and the lady screamed as I braked hard and came to a skidding, dusty halt. There was a silence for a short moment as everyone was in shock. My God, it all happened so fast, I said, feeling sick to my stomach. Megan began to cry, and Carla was holding her mouth in shock. Robert opened his door and ran to the bush. I followed. We found the kid hooked over a thick branch, hanging upside down, looking lifeless. The look of death was in his eyes as I felt his pulse. Nothing. I dropped to my knees and began to cry out, "No! My God, no! Please, no!" Robert put a hand on my shoulder as Carla and Megan approached. What are we gonna do? Asked Carla, trembling and still holding her mouth. Is he? Megan trailed off. Robert nodded. He's dead, he said. Megan looked at the boy and began to weep. He's so young, she uttered. What have I done? I shouted. No one else around, it seems, Chris, said Robert. It was an accident, bro. It's not your fault, he added, trying to comfort me. To add to it all, none of us had any cell phone signal. I saw a house about 3.5 miles ahead, uttered Carla through trembling lips. I don't think we should move him, said Robert. I'll take a walk to that house and get help and call the police, he added. I'll come with you, said Carla, as the two of them began their journey through the bush. I got up off the floor, fetched a blanket from the Land Rover, and covered the boy as best I could. Megan held me tightly, both of us still in shock. I moved the Land Rover to the side of the road, but there were still no other vehicles to be seen. As we sat in the Rover, a sudden, sharp sound on the back window altered us. We both turned. An old gray-haired man, as white as a ghost, and wielding an axe, screamed as he swung the axe, shattering the back window. I screamed. Megan screamed. Our world turned. Then he moved to my window, again swinging the axe. I sharply leaned to Megan's side as the axe shattered the driver's window. We were terrified and scrambled out through Megan's door. As we got out in terror, the old man had vanished as quickly as he'd appeared. In deep shock, we shouted for Robert and Carla. They couldn't have been far away. No answer came. As I turned around, the old man again appeared directly in front of me. He was expressionless, and his axe hung down at his side. My God, I said in fright. Why are you doing this? I shouted. But he never moved. His eyes glazed over and went white. He smelled bad. Boy deserved to die, he said in an evil tone. I told him not to play in the road, he added in a wicked tone. I'll chop him up and get rid of him, he said angrily, as he walked over to the kid's body. No! Screamed Megan. I rushed to grab him, but he hit me in the ribs with the handle of the axe. The pain went through me and I dropped. No? He asked sarcastically, heading for Megan. She screamed and backed away. Leave her alone, I shouted from the gravel where I lay. Robert! Carla! Megan shouted from her gut. You think the cops will believe you? Asked the old man aggressively. Huh? Do ya? He had turned to look at me. It was the first time I'd noticed his outfit. He wore a long black coat, dirty brown pants, and worn-out old brown boots. He suddenly dropped the axe on the ground and lit up a cigarette. Everything went eerily quiet. Those your friends? He asked through now pursed lips, smoke wafting out of them. Robert and Carla, huh? He exclaimed quite calmly. He seemed to be getting older and paler as he spoke. I couldn't get up. I was in too much pain. Megan was frozen in position. Me and my friends live in that there house, he said, pointing to the house that Robert and Carla had headed for. No, I shouted. And well, we don't like strangers nor trouble around here, he added, beginning to laugh in an eerie and evil way. What have you done to them? Screamed Megan. Don't scream, honey. Dennis and Jake will help him out. An evil smile, wide vacant eyes followed. There was a loud, gurgling man scream emanating from the house, followed by what I knew was Carla screaming too, but she was headed towards us. Damn, Jake and Dennis can't do anything right, the old man said as Carla peered out of the bushes. She was covered in spattered blood and breathing heavily. Robert, she tried to speak. What is it, Carla? I shouted. You're covered in blood, added Megan. Blood, exclaimed the old man matter-of-factly. We like to follow our bloodlines, he added, laughing. Two men attacked and sliced up, cut up Robert, Carla managed to scream out. I got up quickly. It was strange. The pain had gone as I went for the old man. he disappeared into thin air. I turned in shock to see that Carlo was chatting with Megan as though nothing had happened, and the blood had disappeared. I shouted as a chill ran through my spine. Robert appeared, totally unscathed. Was I going mad? "What's up, guys?" he said. "Every guy needs to pee in the bushes." Then he laughed and so did the ladies. Something was very, very off. I went over to the boy in the tree and suddenly the blanket got thrown off and the redhead youngster jumped to the ground. "What you staring at, mister?" he asked. But you're dead." "I don't feel dead, mister. You just bumped me gently. My granddaddy always told me not to play in the road. He died 3 years ago." My heart was pounding wildly. "No hard feelings, mister," he said as he toddled off. "Hey, Chris, let's get going," I heard Robert saying. "Yeah," said Carla. "Robert's had his pee." "But Carla, you..." I trailed off trembling. "Honey," said Megan excitedly, "I want to get to the beach."
But
the windows," I said, turning to the face Land Rover. "None of the windows were broken." "No!" I shouted, grabbing my head.
"I love it when you play silly," said Megan, laughing.
I was outnumbered 3-1. It must have all been in my imagination. I took a little time to try and regain my senses, and we all climbed back into the Land Rover. But as I pulled off, I saw an axe lying in the road, and in my rearview mirror, a pale old man and a redhead boy waved.